Welcome to the jungle. What's cracking? My name is Jim Rome. All right, now, Thursday. Got a really good Thursday for you. Come and get some. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Fired up for today. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Today is a great day. You do not need to wait on me. You don't need my thoughts. You might want my thoughts, but you don't need my thoughts on the Lakers and the Rockets. Kyrie and the Celtics going down. The smack off 43 days out. I mean, there's so many different ways to go with this today. So many different takes, angles. Today is a good day to call. Again, 1-800-636-8686. If you don't want to do that, hit me up on Twitter. It's easy. At Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The show sets up like this. Coming up next segment, Rip Hamilton, former NBA and NCAA champ, 14-year NBA vet, in fact, joining me in about 15 minutes. Second hour is wide open. I'm chasing somebody. Third hour is set with Howard Beck, a senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report. Again, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, a few things off the board, some Major League Baseball, the smack-offs coming up. Man, come in. Come in. Today's the day to do it. 1-800-636-8686. And the Lakers are a disaster. I can't wait to get into that. First, let me start with what went down last night. An insane night in the NBA. Kyrie and the Celtics imploding. The Lakers going Lakers. And the Rockets and Warriors getting nice as hell. And then Kevin Durant suffering an injury that looked horrible initially, but might not be horrible, but still is going to send some aftershocks. Let's start in Oakland. Honestly, why don't we skip the first half altogether? Because even though Klay Thompson was hot and Golden State jumped out to that monster lead, the game was never going to be a beatdown. Watching that game, you had to know that. That was not going to be a beatdown. Never is with these two teams. Never. It didn't matter if Golden State was up 20 or up 50. That game was never going to be a blowout. You had to know that. But it was wild nonetheless. Golden State was up 20. They were rolling. And then the third quarter, Houston made their run. They came back because you knew they would. A team that good and that tough is not going to get blown out. Suddenly, they were getting to every single offensive rebound, every single loose ball. Suddenly, Golden State looked gassed, maybe even on the verge of a complete and total meltdown and implosion. Because Houston just kept coming. And then with Golden State up 66-65 late in the third, this happened.
To Durant. Durant pressured. Drives on jumper. Pull up jumper. KD for two.
He's been the answer. He hurt his right leg. Something happened.
Well, Kevin Durant's hurt. Harden fouled by Iguodala in the front court. Durant.
He's limping.
Trying to walk it off.
He may have turned his ankle coming out of that shot. That's all I can figure.
And he is coming right over to the bench.
I mean, he cannot walk without a... He may go right to the training room.
Yep.
Warriors radio. Let me tell you something. That is something you never want to see. I don't care if you're the biggest Rockets honk ever. I don't care if you hate everything about the Warriors. You never want to see a player, when nobody around, grab their leg and look back. Because everything about that pointed to torn Achilles. I mean, it checked all the boxes. Non-contact, innocuous moment. And worst of all, Durant looking back to see if somebody had kicked him. And for the next 20 minutes or so, that's exactly what that appeared to be. Everything was in the balance. I mean, everything. Forget that game. Forget that series. With Durant, a free agent in a few weeks, the next half decade of the association hung in the balance as he limped off the court and he went down the tunnel. Steph Curry said it best.
Anytime you see something non-contact like that, it's scary. And you could see the look on his face. He didn't really understand what was, you know, was happening in that moment and trying to figure it out.
Then on the other end of the court, the Rockets had to be thinking, man, this is it. This is our chance. The Rockets had to see all that blood in the water. They had come all the way back from that 20-point deficit. And now Golden State's best player in the playoffs was done for the night. They had the champs on the ropes. They had a chance to steal that game, go back home, and then finish. Nobody had to tell the Rockets it was their time. They knew it. It was just a matter of wrapping up on the Warriors' throats and choking them out once and for all. except it didn't happen. And it didn't happen because the Warriors were still on the floor. The ones that were, they knew it was their moment. Steph Curry jumped in.
During the timeout, we all looked at each other, and there were a couple smiles in terms of like what that meant for us as a team and the guys that were going to need to step up in those moments. Again, next man up mentality. Draymond said that at some point during that timeout. It's hard to remove yourself from thinking about your teammate and your brother as he's back in the locker room getting checked out. But, you know, we were able to lock back in and just find a way to win the game.
That's such a great point. You got to find a way to remove yourself from your brother and your teammate who's in the locker room. Man, just get it done. Do your job. And they did. Curry went from having a quiet night to scoring 12 in the fourth. Jonas Derebko hit a corner three. And then Draymond Green had the most Draymond Green sequence that you are ever going to see.
Paul waits, checks the floor, gets a screen by Tucker. Paul runs in. It's an offensive foul. Draymond Green took a charge with five fouls.
Well, we know he's a big risk taker. Paul is still down, and that was a great, great read by Draymond Green. He knew.
Peak Draymond Green.
Draymond calls for the ball, guarded by Tucker. He's got to be careful here. He's playing with a lot of emotion right now. Klay Thompson with 3:28 to go, catches 10 on the clock. Drives it on Harden, throws to Draymond. Draymond fires for three, hits up and good. Draymond Green knocked it down. He screams to the heavens, says, let's go.
Dude, he is too much, man. That is the full Draymond Green experience right there. And it's awesome. Like, out tough and then out craft one of the toughest and craftiest guys on the floor by drawing a charge. Give him a little extra, get a tee, drain a three. And then, with a little over a minute left, he fouls out, which led to Sean Livingston and Kevin Looney being in the game in the final minute, which led to this all-important sequence.
Thompson dribbles it right up the middle of the floor. Bounce pass to Andre. Andre back to Klay. Klay now turns, looks, and throws the ball away. Gordon's got lost at Looney. Back to Thompson. He goes inside and scores with a left hand on an ugly play with 4.1 to go. How did that happen?
It was wacky.
In the history of basketball, that might be one of the ugliest plays to end up with a huge basket.
Maybe not that ugly. Pretty ugly. But who was right in the middle of that whole thing? Looney. Looney coming up huge yet again. He grabbed that loose ball. So if game four was the PJ Tucker game, then game five was the Looney game. This guy was a beast. I can't believe he only had 9 rebounds. It felt like 19. How many offensive possessions did that guy keep alive with his work on the glass and his hustle? And how would you describe a Warriors team that's already banged up, already exhausted, already lost a Hall of Famer like Kevin Durant, and still finds a way to win? What would you call a bunch of guys like that? You know, I have a description. I have a thought or two. But you know who's got a better one? Steve Kerr.
Liverpool yesterday came out with just one of the great wins in soccer history. And after the match, their manager, Jurgen Klopp, said, the young kids in Liverpool are probably asleep by now. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it. But our boys are f-ing giants. That's what he said. And I know how he feels, so I apologize to my mom, who is probably watching, but our guys are f***ing giants. Like, that was an unbelievable victory tonight.
Steve bleeping Kerr. What an awesome moment. And he's right. His guys were bleeping giants last night. Draymond, Curry, Klay, Iggy, Sean, Looney, bleeping giants. So what about the other end? The other end of the court. The other end of the spectrum, it's got to leave a mark for Houston. If they don't win that series, last night is going to come back and haunt them all summer and for years to come. Because it was right there for them. They fought to get back in that game, but they couldn't finish. Durant gets injured. They couldn't close out that game. They could have ripped that game. They could have gone back home and had a chance to close out the series. Instead, they're going back home with questions. Like, what the hell happened to James Harden in the fourth quarter? Where the hell was the beard? What the hell was he doing when they had a chance to drive a stake through the Warriors once and for all? I mean, the stats have to be wrong, right? There's no way that Harden only took one shot in the final 8.5 minutes of that game. Honestly, and I can't believe I would ever say this about James Harden, but there were stretches where I completely forgot that guy was even on the floor. in the fourth quarter of Game 5, a game where the Warriors lost KD, a game that was right up there for the Rockets to rip, a game where they could have snatched the Warriors' souls and taken control of the series and maybe the entire association. Where was the beard? Again, if they lose that series, that game and that final loose ball is going to haunt them for a long, long time. Except the series is not over. It's still not over. In fact, it's impossible to know exactly where it's going to go now. Because no matter what Kevin Durant's MRI today says, he's not going to play tomorrow night. Hard to imagine he'll play again in the series. Steve Kerr already told The Athletic that he's not playing tomorrow night, which means Golden State's got to go on the road without the guy who's been their best player in the postseason. So what does that mean? Golden State's dead, right? They can't beat Houston without Kevin Durant, right? Wrong. You know, Houston wins Game 6. What's that mean? Can we assume they're going to go back to Oracle and beat them in Game 7? Not necessarily. Golden State still has Steph. Golden State still has Klay. And without Durant, they won't go to the isolations that are a double-edged sword. They can get easy buckets for Golden State. I get that, but they also take Golden State out of their rhythm. So the big question, do the Splash Brothers get back to being the Splash Brothers? Is Kevin Durant really holding them back, as some Warrior fans will tell you? Or if Durant's out for the rest of the series and is out for the rest of the postseason, is this thing now wide open, especially given Golden State's lack of depth, which was already a concern before Durant went down? Bottom line, you want the answer? You want me to tell you what's going to happen? I can't. I won't, because I can't, and nobody else can either. There is no bottom line other than if Houston does not come back, they'll never live down the fact that they didn't finish Golden State last night when they had the chance. The only thing for certain is Game 6 is tomorrow night in Houston, and KD's not going. Let's do this.
Our guys are giants.
They are bleeping giants. Who do you have? Who do you like? Why? I could do an entire show on that game last night. Or I can do an entire show on the disaster that is the LA Lakers. Or I could do an entire show on Kyrie. I don't have to, but I could. All of that still ahead, plus a conversation with Rip Hamilton when we come back. Do not forget to thank the real pros on this Mother's Day. Where would you be without mom? Where would you be without the mother of your children? Where would any of us be without moms? Make sure you take care of mom and let her know how much she means to you. Pro Flowers can help you do that. Pro Flowers will let you choose from a variety of bouquets and unique vases that suit every single mom style. Then all you have to do is pick the delivery date that you want. Pro Flowers carefully packages your flowers and delivers them fresh right from the farm. The express delivery means the flowers stay fresh. Right now, I've got a couple of great deals. You can get one dozen assorted roses for $19.99. Or, and I always do this, or double the roses, get a premium vase for only $9.99 more. Go to proflowers.com. Click the microphone. It's in the upper right-hand corner. Enter my code name, Rome. Proflowers.com. Hit the microphone, code name, Rome. Mother's Day is May 12th. That's this weekend. Don't wait. Order like a pro. Get this amazing rose deal and thank all the moms in your life. Proflowers.com. Click the mic. Type in Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Heavy NBA day. Rockets, Warriors, Celtics win game one against Milwaukee. Paul Pierce says the series is over. He was right. Got the wrong team. He had the right call. And more. Rip Hamilton joining me momentarily. In fact, by momentarily, I mean right now. He is working right now with the NBA on TNT and NBA on TNT VR as an analyst, a 14-year NBA vet, an NBA champion, an NCAA champion, an All-American, a two-time Big East Player of the Year at UConn, a three-time All-Star, the pride of Coatesville, PA, and again, working Intel, True VR, and the NBA on TNT VR in the postseason. Rip Hamilton is my guest. Rip, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Rome, always happy to be back on your show, brother.
My man, good talking to you. Rip, great to hear your voice. So much to talk about, Rip, so let me just jump right into the East, where you have been covering the Boston-Milwaukee series for NBA on TNT VR. How impressed, Rip, have you been with Milwaukee and what they've done in terms of bouncing back after losing game one of that series?
wow, right? I mean, game one, they kind of got just, like, hit in the mouth. Like, really. Like, and as a viewer, we were all looking at it saying, hey, man, okay, we've seen this happen last year, right? But the difference is Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, he's a man on a mission right now. And I think that when you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, they've been great all season long on both sides of the ball. And everything starts to end with Giannis. And now all the role players are playing great, too. And I thought that the Milwaukee Bucks did a great job of putting the right pieces around Giannis and putting the right shooters around him and allowing him to be as effective, not just in the half-court setting, but in transition, where I think he's best at. And I think there's not a man on this planet that can stop him when he's in transition. And when you looked at the Boston Celtics, it just seems like they were all over the place all season long. And you hear people, you always hear people saying, oh, well, they'll be all right when the playoffs start. And then they'll be more connected when playoffs begin. And I was saying to myself, no, it's not that easy. It's not that hard. Winning the championship when I was in Detroit, we had to make sure that we were playing great basketball going into the season. And I felt like they wasn't. So it sums up their season. They've been on a roller coaster ride. They got all the talent, but I just don't think that the pieces fit.
Great analysis. Rip Hamilton joining us. There's so much in that answer, Rip. Let me ask you about Kyrie. I mean, from the outside, it seems like, from the outside, Rip, there are a number of guys in that Boston locker room didn't really like Kyrie as a leader, or at least the way he led. Is that how it looks to you? And if so, how much does that show up on the court?
Well, I think the one thing that we really got to talk about is that these young guys like Rozier and Tatum and Jaylen Brown, these guys had a great season last year. They took the team all the way to in the playoffs and to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? So now when we look at the lead, it's a younger lead now. You know, like the vets don't run the lead no more. It's all about the kids that are 23 to 26, right? Like the game has changed. So now when you got young guys that had success in the playoffs, these guys don't want to wait. they want to perform now, right? So how can you tell a guy like Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown and Tatum to kind of take a back seat when knowing that, hey, you got Kyrie coming back and you got Gordon Hayward? And I don't think it's all about the Kyrie. I think that even when Brad Stevens tried to add Gordon Hayward into the starting lineup when he wasn't ready, when you already got guys, young guys that are thirsty, they ready. They like pit bulls. They want to be out there. They want to show the world that they can play. And he wasn't ready. So that affects the locker room, right? So I think that situations like that and them all getting on the same page and understanding that, hey, we're only going to win a championship as a group, not by individuals. I don't think they ever had that. And I think another question mark is, can Kyrie Irving be the best player on the best team? And I think that's a big question mark that Boston is trying to answer right now, going into now them going into free agency.
Rip Hamilton joining us. You know, Rip, to your point that these guys are young and they're thirsty and they're hungry and they feel like it's their time. And to your point, not only that, but they did prove it last year. Like, they were already doing it. It's not like, hey, give me a shot. They did it last year. They got there. So what about the question you pose when it comes to free agency? You never know what's going to happen, Rip, when it comes to free agency. But how surprised would you be if Kyrie re-signed in Boston?
I wouldn't be surprised either way, right? Okay. Because I think that, like, in order to win a championship, you got to go through bumps in a row like this, right? And even though if they would have got through past the Cleveland Cavaliers last year, I mean, no one thought they could beat the Golden State Warriors, right? So I just feel like in order for them to have the success, they still need a guy like Kyrie Irving because they need a closer, and I don't think they have a closer. And Kyrie is one of the best closers in the game, and when you're playing on a big stage and you're trying to win a world championship, you got to have guys that can close games, and he's probably one of the best at it. So I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back to Boston. I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves.
Rip Hamilton joining us. All right, Rip, what about out west? Now, we know Golden State won it all without Kevin Durant, but we know how dangerous they are with KD. We'll wait and see what the MRI says, but if they've got to go without him, how different is this group right now without Kevin Durant?
Oh, man. They're still a great team, right? We know that. But Kevin Durant is the X factor. Kevin Durant is the guy on your team that you can't take out of the game. Like,
We've seen Steph Curry struggles in the finals. We've seen Klay Thompson have his struggles. Had a great game last night, but we've seen them guys have struggles. Kevin Durant really doesn't ever struggle for two games in a row. If he's probably one of the most unguardable guys, unguardable guy in the league right now. But with him having him on your team, and when you're not getting anything off of ball movement, and guys are not knocking down shots, he's a guy you can throw the ball to, and he's going to get you a bucket. So not having if the MRI comes up negative, positive, and not having him out there on the floor, it's going to be a huge loss and definitely going to impact this team.
Yeah, Rip, what about the Rockets? They had a golden opportunity last night. They came all the way back from 20. Durant goes down, but they just couldn't finish. They could not rip that game that they had to have. How do you think they show up in Game 6?
Well, it all depends on if Kevin Durant plays or not, right? I think that really impacts the game. And them getting the opportunity to go back at home, you know, the playoffs is all about first team that wins on the opposite team's home court, right? So Golden State so far has done their job. Houston looking at it saying, all right, you know what? We got to go home and do our job. We got to come out aggressive. And if he's not playing, we got to take away everything from Steph and Klay, and we got to be more physical than we have been all playoff series long right now. This is a perfect opportunity for us to go out and really put our blueprint from a defensive standpoint and take away their confidence, make them have doubts in their head saying that, hey, we can't win without Kevin Durant, depending on if he plays or if he doesn't play.
Really quick about James Harden. He had one shot in the last 8.5 minutes of the game. Exactly what was that? I mean, was my man tired? Was that fatigue? Was that something else? How do you explain him not being more aggressive with that game and that series hanging in the balance?
Well, he spends a lot of energy, man. Like, the way that the Houston Rockets play, he doesn't get any easy baskets, right? Like, every possession he has the ball, it's like he's taking on pretty much the whole team, and the whole team knows that he has the ball, so he's falling down on the ground, he's getting to the free throw line, and he's been doing that since day one, since game one of the season. With all the injuries that they had all season long, he's been the guy. And now to be in a playoff situation, it's probably good that they're playing him this early, right? Because, you know, the longer the playoffs drag out, you got to worry about injuries, you got to worry about guys getting tired, fatigue, or whatever. And I think that was a prime example of right there, like, hey, fatigue could be starting to be a factor with James Harden, knowing the load that he has to carry night in and night out.
All right, so Rip, you're working with Intel True VR and the NBA on TNT VR in the postseason. For those who have not experienced it, can you break that down? What is the VR experience like?
Well, it's fun, Jim. I mean, Intel Sports brings fans closer to the game, right? So it's I always say it's like when you put on these goggles, it's kind of like sitting on the floor, but being at home. Mm-hmm. So you're getting the same type of experience if you were at the game, and you have all these different camera angles. So you're actually kind of cool that you can kind of change your seat around, so you can see the game from different aspects out of there. And the experience that you have is like being there and getting the commentary of me and Stephanie Reddy, who's been actually great with me. But we're just like hanging out in your living room. We're just talking basketball. It's not all about just analytics. It's about what we're seeing from all the different angles, from all the different camera angles that you might not be able to see when you're calling the game live from a normal telecast. So I think the experience is awesome. It kind of brings kids and fans inside the arena. You see different parts of the game that you wouldn't regularly see on a normal telecast. We got cameras now in the back where the guys actually walk in. We got my favorite cameras being like right behind the basket, that's mounted right behind the basket, because it really gives the viewer the experience of them being there, like in the game, where you can actually touch the players. You can hear the squeaking of the sneakers on the floor. You can see the guys throw elbows every now and then, talk a little trash. And that's the fun things that you might not see from a normal telecast that I definitely enjoy, that I thought that Intel kind of hit a home run on that.
My man, that is one of the best pitches I've ever heard. That's how you do that, Rip. So if people want more information or they want to know how to watch you in VR, how do they go about doing that? Where do they get the info?
Well, yeah, you can go to Oculus. It's where you get the goggles, or Samsung makes a device too. And you go in there and you download the NBA VR app. And then once you download there, you sign on to your local cable subscription, and then you're on. You can watch whatever you want to watch. You can watch games. You can watch YouTube. You can watch movies. You can watch everything on there. So it's cool. So only thing you really have to do is get a set of goggles and download the NBA VR app.
He is an NBA champ, an NCAA champion, a 14-year NBA vet, NBA on TNT, and NBA on TNT VR analyst, Rip Hamilton. My guy, Rip, so good to have you back. I really appreciate that. That was fun. Thank you.
Jim, you've always been one of my favorites. Thanks for having me.
You too, Rip. Mutual respect. You too, Rip. You've always been one of my favorites. I love Rip Hamilton. I loved him in college. I loved him in the NBA. I love him post-career. Always great to put in the jungle. All right, 1-800-636-8686. What did you think when you saw Kevin Durant go down? I've got thoughts on that I want to get to in a minute. I suffered a similar injury because Kevin Durant and I have so much in common. Difference is he did it in an NBA playoff game. I did it in the backyard 2 weeks ago after a couple of beers. Let me just tell you, though, I had the same exact reaction, though. I went up. He's Batman. I went up, and I didn't feel anything pop. I didn't feel anything tear. Then I came down, and it was not on impact. Nothing happened on impact. I took a couple of steps, and then I did exactly what he did. I'm looking around the backyard. Oh, somebody just kicked me in the calf. Or somebody took a shovel to my calf. So I was flashing back. When I saw what happened to him on the floor last night, I flashed back to what happened to me 2 weeks ago in the backyard at my 14-year-old son's birthday. Difference is, I had a 6-inch vert. That's when it happened. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, thanks for getting Rip on. Loved him and that going to work Pistons team. One of the most underrated championship teams for what they did to the Lakers. Yeah, they were amazing. Those Piston teams that Rip was on was everything that the Celtics are not. A team that played together. A team that picked each other up. A team that liked each other. What do you make of Rip's take also that you had a bunch of young guys who got them to the conference finals last year? So the thinking was, hey, it's going to be so much better now. Kyrie's coming back. Gordon Hayward's coming back. If we almost got it done without those guys, not only are we coming out of the East as a lock, we might be the team to take down Golden State. And Rip's take was, no, wait a minute. That's not how that works. The young guys run this thing. And now the vets are coming back and it might not work. And Brad Stevens was telling ESPN he knew early on this year there were going to be issues. And he was right. All that's still ahead. And the Laker clown show. Can't wait to get into that. Mother's Day is coming up this weekend. And there is absolutely nothing that most of us would not do to make sure that the special moms in our life are happy. I've got exactly what you need to show mom how much she means to you. Sherry's Berries. Sherry's Berries are amazing. I've been buying Sherry's Berries myself for years. And they've got a special Mother's Day berries designed just for mom. Let me tell you about these. Chocolate chips, pink shimmer sugar and swizzles. You choose the delivery date that you want to ensure that mom gets the gift of Sherry's Berries exactly when you want her to. These berries are amazing. You've never seen anything like these berries. So great that satisfaction is always guaranteed. Just don't wait until the last minute on this one. Go to berries.com right now. Order freshly dipped strawberries. They start at $19.99 for the moms in your life to make mom really happy. You can even double the berries for only $10 more. I do that every single time. It's great value. Mother's Day is this Sunday, May 12th. Go to berries.com, berries.com. Find the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Click on that. Enter my code ROME. Berries.com. Hit the mic. Hammer the code ROME. I guarantee it's going to be a home run. Like, I can promise it.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We added Joel Sherman, an MLB columnist for the New York Post. And we'll do that at the top of the hour. So this segment's wide open. Phone lines are open. Let me take a moment here. I need a moment so I can apologize. I owe all of you an apology. You see, when I'm wrong about something, it's important that I step up. I admit it. I own it. That's how this show is. That's how this show has always been. It's about accountability, responsibility. I'm holding guys accountable. I can't do that and not hold myself accountable. Nobody is going to be right about everything. I know this, best of all. So when you're wrong about something, you have to acknowledge it. It's good to acknowledge it. It takes a big man to stand up, be accountable, and admit that they're wrong. And I'm that guy. Because I stand before every last one of you and I admit, I was wrong. And I'm here to own it. And I'm here to apologize for being wrong. I'm going to look you right in the eye. Look you right in the camera. Say it right into the microphone. I was wrong and I'm sorry. And I'm going to make that apology official. Here it goes. I, for one, said I did not think it could get any worse for the Lakers than Magic quitting the front office for Twitter and not telling anybody. Now, let's just think about that for a minute before I finish the apology. Magic Johnson, franchise icon, league icon, quit the Lakers for Twitter. He quit the Lakers for Twitter, and there's nobody who is worse at Twitter than Magic. It's like his drug. Where's James Worthy and Byron Scott and the cap, Kareem, to step in with the intervention and rip this guy's phone right out of his hands? I mean, how you always wonder if the stars themselves really thumb out the tweets. No one's asking that about Magic. Yo, Irv, I really hate to break this to you, but you really suck at Twitter. I just hope that nobody else tells him. But back to my apology. I thought the face of the franchise walking out on the team without telling anybody so he could hop on Twitter to congratulate guys who play for other teams was rock bottom. I said it. I meant it. Except this is where I was wrong. I was wrong. I own it. And now I'm going to apologize for it because it has gotten worse. So much worse. Magic dug them a hole and then the rest of the front office jumped into it and kept right on digging. Except me, I'm not going to fall for it a second time. That's why I'm not going to say that the Lakers failing to land Ty Lue is rock bottom. Because when you read how that whole thing went down, I've got confidence that this crew will jack it up even worse. Much, much worse. In fact, this might just be the tip of the iceberg. Ramona Shelbourne tweeted, quote, negotiations really deteriorated with Ty Lue when the Lakers refused to offer more than a three-year deal that was designed to line up with LeBron James's contract. Lue felt insulted. The Lakers only saw him as a coach for LeBron. Sources close to the process told ESPN. Nice work. Really nice work. You could not have handled that any worse than you did. Well, actually, they could. And they did. Because not only did they insult Ty Lue with their crappy offer, they also reportedly wanted to tell him who he could hire as his assistants, which is fantastic. Think on that for a minute. If the perception of Ty Lue is that he's only there to coach LeBron, maybe you do something to change that perception. Or you completely underline it by having his deal match LeBron's. Like you're just telling everybody that you never believed in this guy in the first place. Never mind the fact that Monty Williams got a five-year deal in Phoenix and that Ty Lue has got an NBA championship on his resume as a coach. There's no way this guy should be taking any less. He shouldn't. And then on top of that, you're going to tell him who he has to use as assistants. I mean, are you serious? This guy's not an assistant coach who's never been a head coach. He's got a title. He went to three straight NBA finals as a head coach. Way to insult the guy who was going to be your next head coach. And way to insult the guy who you allegedly were going to bring him in to coach. Oh, and speaking of Monty Williams, Mark Stein has reported that people in the organization who believed in Lue thought the only way to make him the favorite was to wait for Williams to get hired. Another great plan. Really professional. Is there anyone anywhere in that building saying, hey, listen, we're already a laughingstock around the league. statistically, we're the worst team in the league over the past 6 years. And if we screw this up and it gets out how we screwed this up, we are going to look horrible. It's going to make the Knicks look like a well-run organization by comparison. It's going to make Jim Buss look smart in comparison to Genie. Is there not one person in that room to say, the hell are you all thinking? The hell are you all doing? There's no way that a guy who's won a title and been to three NBA finals is taking a job just to take a job. If you think so little of this guy, why are you hiring him in the first place? The hell happened to the Lakers? The hell are any of you doing around there? Genie Buss is the smart one. She's the ruthless one. She was the one who canned her brother to change the organization. That was the coolest and coldest thing ever. Now it feels like a mistake. I mean, seriously, bring back Jim Buss. Bring back Jim Buss. When Magic quit for a social media app, that was a chance to become professional. A chance to go out and get some legitimate, experienced front office people. Instead, Kurt and Linda Rambis became more involved. They became more powerful. And then you double down on Rob Pelinka, and that's gone horribly. Like everybody knew it would. I've said it before, let me say it again right now. The Lakers' biggest problem is that they're being the Lakers. It's themselves. They have to stop being the Lakers. This whole month has been the most Lakers month ever. Taking advice from Mr. and Mrs. Rambis. Not exactly Jerry West we're talking about. Like, I don't know what Kurt and Linda bring to the table. I really don't. But I know what they don't bring. A ton of coaching experience. Let me throw some numbers at you. 15 and 17. Those were the number of wins that Kurt had the only time he ever coached a full NBA season. He went 15 and 67, 17 and 65. And this is a guy playing a huge role in all this? So what now? Jason Kidd. He's the backup choice. Juwan Howard they talked to. What, you going to give Juwan Howard a three-month deal? Ladies and gentlemen, your next head coach, Mario Chalmers. Is Boobie Gibson available? How about my man Delonte West? How play is that?
How play is that, man?
I mean, I can see Jay Kidd. I like Jason Kidd. Juwan Howard would be awesome. It would be awesome because it would be hilarious. Like, yo, Juwan. Juwan, it's me, Rob Pelinka. We played together at Michigan, remember? You don't? You don't know me? Dude, I'm the one who looked like Rob Lowe. Yeah, I knew you remembered. Hey, listen, I run the Lakers now. Well, LeBron runs the Lakers now. Anyway, how would you like to coach an NBA team for free? Dude, we're willing to do that. We're willing to let you come in here and work for free and even sign you to a 10-day contract. Oh, you're not into that. Yo, listen, Jerry Howard. Hey, do you have what's-his-face's name? You know, that other guy that we played with. That dude who called that timeout in the championship game? What's-his-face? Have you got his number? How about Jalen Rose? Dude, do you think Ray Jackson would coach this team? How about Jimmy King? Hey, you talk to Jimmy? Dugan Fyfe, dude. Can Dugan Fyfe do it? What do you think, Jerry? Hey, man, do me a favor. Do me a favor, Jerry. Can you roll up on Michael Talley? If you roll up on him the right way, do you think that maybe he'll take that gig? Or is he previously committed? Dude, no! James Voskal should coach the Lakers. He'd kill it. I don't know, man. I don't know, Rob. You're the freaking Lakers. This is a star-driven town. You need a star on that sideline. Dude, you need Eric freaking Riley. Or if none of the Fab Five or any of the scrubs that they ran with want that gig, maybe Juwan and Bron's former teammate Chris Bosh will. And if Bosh won't take that job because nobody will, maybe my man Mike Miller will. Or you can just go back to my guys in Cleveland. My man, Delonte West. Planes, trains, automobiles. Better have my donuts.
Planes and automobiles.
And if Delonte won't, how about J.J. Hickson? Planes, trains, robbery with a knife. Dude, I can do this all day. All day long. Damn, I hate it that this segment's over. Joel Sherman's coming up next. I'll finish that take now. Don't go anywhere. You're in the jungle. Talking baseball next.